Reformed Church.
There is a, I think probably a habit amongst believers that actually do believe that, as we might say, supernatural things can happen manifestly. And, you know, there are some Christians that don't believe in any working of miracles, or some Christians that just believe, well, God can do it, but it's not something that's usual or something that we have access to, you know, voluntarily. But when you do, when you're around a crowd of people that does believe that God wants to manifest these things and that we can access these things by faith, which is not really an uncommon thing for people to believe that much. The thing is, though, there is something that I believe people mistake for spiritual maturity, which is actually spiritual immaturity. And by spiritual, I'm really saying mental immaturity. They count it as spiritual perception, and it's really lack of spiritual perception. And that is when people enjoy, like when they see manifestations on the outside, and when they really get into that, and when they really are attracted to that, seeing manifestations on the outside, seeing miracles and stuff, people find that to be spiritual maturity. But actually, if you find yourself attracted to the outward manifestations, and you kind of, if that's really what gets your adrenaline going versus seeing miracles, but seeing them by the word of God instead, even before they're manifested, it's actually lack of spiritual maturity, not the presence of spiritual maturity. And again, when I say spiritual maturity, I'm just talking about in our minds. And, you know, let me bring you here real quick to Luke 10. Let's see, 17, Luke 10, 17. Jesus had a set of 70 disciples. He had 12 disciples, but he also had a set of 70. And he had more disciples than that, because obviously a disciple is just someone that was learning from him. He sent 70 disciples out. The 70 disciples came back. And in verse 17, this is the 70 returned again with joy, saying to the Lord, "Even the devils are subject unto us through your name." Now, for them to come back, and it says they returned again with joy, and they were happy because the demons were subject to them. The vast majority of people would not correct that. The vast majority. If you were sent out, I mean, this is very uncommon. If you were sent out on a missions trip and you came back happy because there were demons that were cast out and because there were people that were manifestly healed, their bodies were healed, the vast majority of people would not correct anything about that. They would just say, glory to God, and they would see nothing wrong with that at all. But Jesus actually corrected their joy. Sometimes we talk about how depression isn't of God, and sadness is not of God, and anger, well, at least wrong anger, is not of God. But joy cannot be of God sometimes. Confidence cannot be of God sometimes. Confidence can be just as evil as an inferiority complex. Joy can be just as evil as sadness, because it depends on where you're putting your joy. And people would say, you know, these are ministers. They're just happy because they saw a demon subject to them, and that's a good reason to be happy. And no one would correct that. And in fact, if you corrected that, you'd be looked at like, man, why are you, like, you know, squashing their joy over the demons being subject to them? But funny enough, if you keep reading, verse 18, Jesus said, "I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven." He's just acknowledging that Satan, he's acknowledging Satan's defeat. I don't know if Jesus is saying this prophetically or if really at that point in time, Satan had already been thrown out of heaven. We know from Revelation chapter 12, Satan was thrown out of heaven at the coming of Jesus, but it's it makes it sound in Revelation 12 like it's more so after the cross, but Jesus is saying it here even before the cross. So I'm not sure, again, if he's saying that he sees this as in prophetically or if he's saying that he actually saw this, that had already occurred. But regardless, he's talking about the defeat of Satan. So he's acknowledging to them, I know Satan was defeated. I understand that. And then in verse 19, he goes on to further confirm, "Behold, I give you power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you." So he's confirming that I know that Satan has been defeated, or at least that the cross would be. I know that I gave you power over all the power of the enemy. Serpents and scorpions are just names for angelic creatures here. Demons in particular. And he says, nothing shall by any means hurt you. So he's establishing that fact. He's saying, I know that you have authority over the demonic. I understand that. But verse 20 says, notwithstanding, despite this, in this rejoice not. He corrected their joy. And sometimes you need to correct joy just as much as you'd correct sadness. You can't just, You can't only correct when someone is upset. You can't only correct when someone is feeling down or is feeling angry or is feeling whatever, all these things. Well, we would say negative emotions, because joy can be a negative emotion if it's misplaced. If you rejoice over the manifestation of something, he's saying that's misplaced joy. And he goes on to say, notwithstanding in this, rejoice not. Now, he's not saying don't rejoice. He's just saying don't rejoice in that, right? Joy is a fruit of the Holy Spirit. If the Holy Spirit's working through you, it will always produce joy. In other words, there's never a point where God is going to say, well, you're too happy. You know, don't be so happy. Never will God say, don't be happy. He says, in this, don't rejoice. That's misplaced joy. People can have confidence, and you could say, you know what, they're just so confident, and so you don't ever correct anything with them because they just look like a confident person, but they could be confident in their own efforts. That's evil. Paul said, I have no confidence in the flesh in Philippians 3. So that's not something to put your confidence in. And a lot of people find it that it's a spiritual thing when they're all into, you know, I just love to see when, you know, the manifestations of the Lord, and they get happy and they rejoice in the manifestation. But then that's not spiritual. It's not spiritual. That's immaturity, actually. And you say, well, how could all this be immaturity? Jesus goes on to say, but rather, let's restart that. Notwithstanding in this rejoice, not that the spirits are subject unto you, meaning don't be happy because you saw the demon leave somebody. It says, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven. The spiritual fact that there was a spiritual fact that these people, their names were written in heaven. They were not of the devil, but they were of God. They had, this is, of course, previous to the new birth. This was before Acts 2 and before the cross. But nevertheless, these people were not of the earth. Their names were written in heaven. They belonged to the Lord. And that's what gave them power over the devil, because they had transferred from being, of this world to being of God, and their names were written in heaven. That's a spiritual fact that you can't see. And Jesus is saying you should rejoice in the spiritual fact that you're not of the devil anymore and that you're of God now. That's a spiritual fact that doesn't change. But when you put your joy in the manifestation, you're basically, this is what you're doing. When your joy has a spike, when a demon leaves a person, now I'm not saying you shouldn't be pleased with that, but you shouldn't rejoice in that. Because when you put your joy in, when you see a demon leave somebody, what are we exactly saying then? Did you not have the same joy just a second before when the demon wasn't cast out of that person? Did you not have the same joy just before that, even just knowing that you have authority over all the power of the enemy, that the devil has already been defeated? Or are we only going to rejoice or allow our joy to increase and have a joy we didn't have before when we see it with our eyes? You see, when a demon leaves you, that's only a manifest token of the fact that you already have authority over the enemy. It's only a manifest token of the fact that the devil is really subject to you. But if we allow our joy to spike when we see a manifestation, that's not walking by faith, that's walking by sight. You see, like we feel that that's spiritual, but it's not spiritual. Let me give you another example. We can be happy because by Jesus' stripes we were healed. That's a fact regardless of how your body feels. If you allow your joy to come from that, you'll always have joy. You're already healed. It's already a done deal. If we rejoice when our body is healed, right? And I'm not saying you shouldn't be pleased with that or approve of that. That is something to be approved of. But when you allow your joy to come from my body was healed, that's not spiritual, because your body technically, right, already had the healing a second ago. So when it's true in the spiritual and we're not rejoicing, but we only start rejoicing when we see it manifest, what are we saying here? We're walking by sight. That healing was just as real a moment ago before your body was even feeling better. And for us to have an increase in our joy when something manifests tells even the Lord here that you're not spiritually perceptive. The demons were already subject to them, if you want to use that term. The demons already needed to obey them before he even sent them out. So why weren't they rejoicing then? And you say, well, maybe they were rejoicing then, but they were also just rejoicing when it was manifested. But the thing is, again, if your joy increases when something was manifested, you know, if you have any degree of joy when something's manifested that you didn't have a second ago before it was manifested, you're going by sight. Your emotions are based on what you see. And there's so much I could say about this. I won't read it to you. Jesus goes on in verse 21, And he actually starts rejoicing in the Spirit. He got his joy from the Spirit and started thanking God for spiritual things. Anything you can see in manifestation is already true before it's manifested. There's nothing that a Christian sees in their life, a demon flee, sickness healed. There's nothing that you see manifest that wasn't already true a second ago. So are we rejoicing in the truth, or are we only rejoicing when what is already true is manifested to our physical eyes? That's walking by sight. That's not walking by faith. And again, sometimes people don't like to hear that because they just feel like any joy is of the Lord or any confidence is of the Lord. Or on the other hand, they think that, well, this is a good thing. The Holy Spirit did this. And that's true. The Holy Spirit did do that. The Holy Spirit will cause demons to flee. The Holy Spirit through you will cause sickness to be healed. The Holy Spirit will cause the dead to be raised. But that's not reason for joy or to start rejoicing, I should say, because that's already true right now. If I ask for a show of hands of how many people have ever seen the dead raised, I don't think anyone in this room currently would raise their hand. But does that mean you can't rejoice in resurrection? Of course you can. If I start rejoicing more when I see my first dead person raised, that means there's a joy I have now that I wasn't having before, which means that to that degree, my joy is coming from what I see and not from the truth. I didn't get more resurrection, so why is my joy increasing when I see someone raised from the dead when I didn't get any more resurrection? I had that full resurrection just a second ago. So are we rejoicing in the truth of the fact that I have resurrection, or are we rejoicing because I'll believe it when I see it? Because really, that's what we're saying, right? I believed it more. Oh, this really works. What, did it not work a second ago? Oh, I have access to resurrection. Did you not have access a second ago? I can raise the dead. Could you not raise the dead a second ago? You see what I'm saying? You believed it more by what you saw. You're taking your belief from what you see. You're taking your joy, therefore, from what you see. And again, that's not spiritually perceptive. God just wants us to rejoice all the time. And you know what? I'm going to stop with this. Here's the beautiful part. If you will rejoice in the spiritual fact of what you truly have, not just when it's manifested, this will give you a stable joy, first and foremost. And then also, if you go to cast a demon out and you say, leave in the name of Jesus, and it doesn't leave, guess what? You're not going to start getting depressed and discouraged that, it's not working. Because your joy was never coming from whether you saw the demon leave or not. Your joy was coming from the fact that I already know I have authority over demons. And if your joy comes from that spiritual fact, you're not going to be moved based on what you see. But if you get, let me tell you this, to the degree that you get happy over manifest things is to the degree that you will get sad, you will get sad or discouraged when you don't see something manifested. You don't get to choose and just say, I'm only going to take joy from manifestations, but not sadness. You don't get to choose that. If you entrust your emotions to manifest things, you entrust your emotions to manifest things. And you can't just say, well, I'll only take the joy and not the sadness. I'll only take the confidence from manifestations and not the discouragement. It's impossible. Can't do that. You either entrust the Lord with your emotions or you trust something else with your emotions. And whatever you entrust with your emotions has control over your emotions. I know we might not like to hear that all the time, but that thing has control to whatever degree you give it. It has control over your emotion. If you say, I'm going to start getting happier when I see a demon flee, you are going to get sadder when you don't see it flee. Right? It just makes sense. So I could say so much about that, but that's really, really important. That's stable emotions and getting in spiritual perception rather than just going by what you see. It's walking by faith and not by sight.
We hope you enjoyed this message from Reformed Church. If you have, please share this with someone else and help us get this uncommon truth out to the world. If you'd like to support this good news, you can do so at reformchurch.com/give. Also on our website, you can take advantage of our free messages, articles, and even full discipleship courses. Start reforming your mind now at reformchurch.com.